Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Ted Lasso, Season 3, Episode 9, La Locker Room A Fall.
A food. Food. Whatever. Sure. Something French that we're not pronouncing correctly.
No.
Right.
Impossible.
Not impossible, but impossible for us. So there we go.
I did not take French either.
I can fake French if I've heard it a bunch. But I can't conjugate any verbs, so it's really kind of embarrassing. So we are on this episode. What are we drinking?
I'm having milk. Don't ask me why. I do not know. We had milk and I am drinking milk.
All right. Well, I also have something that contains milk. I have a white Russian with vanilla vodka, which obviously has been something that has come up before, and we will talk about it in the proper context.
Well, I mean, it doesn't come up. Vanilla vodka specifically doesn't come up in this episode, so it's related to Colin.
Right, which is why I'm doing it, because this episode is related to Colin, or many things in this episode are related to Colin. Right. So we also have regular caveats. There will be cursing, there will be spoilers for this episode, we'll have some predictions, because I think this season is winding up pretty soon.
I have no idea. I think it might be 12 episodes.
But
that's a great sign, Mom.
Well, I think they're just kind of like ready to get things resolved.
Well, we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
Okay, so we start out with some like classic Broadway music, like on track kind of like
music. Sure, yeah. No, it's like the intro to like just about every goofy
50s golden age musical.
Yeah, and, exactly.
While the team practices, has fun, are doing very well, Roy agrees with the coaches that the new tactic is working well, and he actually compliments the team.
Everyone's shocked because
Beard faints.
Yeah.
Didn't use the same shot that they do in the like trailer, which I kind of wish they did, but it's fine. And then we find out that Isaac is ignoring Colin, even though Colin's trying to reach out and be like, hey, good game, or hey, do you want to get some like drinks later on? And he's just like ignoring him completely.
Colin's making jokes. He just doesn't laugh. He avoids him entirely. And Colin's very bothered by it because they had been buddies.
Well, everybody on that team are basically buddies.
Yeah. So it's very disappointing to him. Mm-hmm. Then we go to Keeley and Rebecca.
No, there's a moment in the locker room that I want to talk about. Where Danny's trying to figure out if his socks are dirty or not, and he says this quote, just because they're dirty doesn't mean they don't deserve to have a friend. And because he folds up the socks regardless of if they're dirty or not, even though they probably are just going in the dirty hamper or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just found that quote very funny.
Okay.
So then we go to Keeley.
Keeley is talking to Rebecca about, oh, I've sent a bunch of unresponded to texts to Jack. Rebecca sympathizes, feels the, and while they are talking, Ted comes in, and Ted makes a giant bunch of jokes related to Keeley, and he calls it the digital Irish goodbye from Jack. Mm-hmm. And he made some biscuits. He gives money to Keeley because he didn't know she was going to be there.
He mentions that he's going to be missing the press conference to do a parent-teacher conference over Zoom or whatever.
Right, and they ask, Rebecca says, or Keeley suggests that Roy can do it, because while Roy doesn't like it, he's good at them.
I don't know if he's great at them, like, initially anyway, but he can do it, and he's open to it. He's mentioned that he's open to it.
Right, so then Keeley, they talk about how she is, quote-unquote, heart-bent. Mm-hmm. And Ted goes into a whole country song using heart bent as a lyric, which whatever.
And then we go over to Roy and Rebecca and Keeley, and they are like, hey, can you do the press conference? And Roy's like, fuck no. And then he's like, crap, I'm trying to be nice. Okay, well,
why can't Ted
why?
Do it?
Yeah, why can't Ted do it? It's like, oh, he has a thing to do. And then he's just like
fake smiling and like,
okay, I will do it. And then we go over to Nate, and then Jay brings Nate lunch. Rupert comes in and he meets Jay, and he's very creepy.
Oh God, yeah, he's like total molester. And I love Jay's response, because she has seen this behavior from rich people before. And she's like, well, he's rich.
Well, she also, like, I think she kind of says something along the lines of a pleasure, I'm sure, I guess, or something. Like, she has a nice, like, response to it that kind of shuts that stuff down a little bit.
Yeah, she's pleasant, but her demeanor is very much, I'm not interested in you. And so Rupert just keeps flirting with her. And Nate, because Nate is so insecure, is excited that Rupert's flirting with his girlfriend, because that means his girlfriend's attractive, I guess.
Well, I think he's just kind of like, oh, they're getting along. And he's not really thinking about it in that context or whatever. I don't think he's thinking that way.
And no, he's thinking socially this is going well because Rupert's talking to his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And you again, Jay, and the way she says, well, he seems very wealthy. Like, if she gets that he is kind of privileged, he has this kind of almost possessive language that he uses about her. Oh, yeah, well, if you're gonna make things right with this girl, I'd take your place, kind of thing. It's like,
it's weird.
Yeah, it's really creepy.
And then we go over to
Beard.
We go over to Rebecca, and Higgins comes into the office and is like, okay, so Ted's not doing the press conference. And she's like, oh no, I'm having Roy do it. And Higgins is like, oh, that explains it. And then she's like, what do you mean? And Beard is doing the press conference instead because Roy made him do it. And Beard is having a very heated discussion about classical guitarists.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's all about whether or not Joe Walsh or Jimmy Page is better. And just, so the press is very upset with Beard's defense of Joe Walsh. And talking about Jimmy Page not being great, this is a whole
debate.
Yeah, and so Rebecca decides to take over because she thinks this is going badly. And the first question they ask her is, who is the greatest classic rock guitarist? And apparently she doesn't get it either, because as she's leaving and she's walking out the door and she knows that it hasn't gone well, Higgins is like, the guy from Cream. She's talking about Eric Clapton.
That's sad. Rock is like, I'm gonna kill Roy. So she goes and finds Roy. Roy's in the locker room.
I love this.
Roy's in like the weight room, and he's like telling everybody to do extra. Well, he's telling Danny in particular to do more, and he's like to bench press until it hurts. And then Rebecca yells at Roy to go to her office.
She sounds exactly like him. She goes, "Oi, Ken. Get your hairy ass into my office right now."
And the way Roy responds is so full. Well, it's responds so to the team.
Yes.
Like, Rebecca goes, leaves, and he's like, okay, fine, I'll be there in a minute. She leaves. Roy looks at the team. The team, like, slowly goes, ooh. And then Roy says, all of you know my ass isn't hairy, and yet none of you spoke up. I will never forget that.
Yeah. And then they have this whole discussion. Oh, we do know that. Isaac starts. We do know that. Now we're short.
This is funny.
And every show is like, oh yeah.
And then Colin talks to Trent about how Isaac and knows, and Trent is basically like, give it time. So some people need time, even though it's kind of like, why do you need time? But it's fine. And
well, I think some is that they haven't talked about it. There's no discussion. I mean, Isaac found out, and neither one of them says a word about it.
Well, I think Colin's trying to reach out, but Isaac just isn't. And so I think that if they had more of an opportunity to discuss it, everything would be fine. But like you said, but it's just kind of like Colin's taking steps, but Isaac needs some more time to like process it, I guess, or at least that's what Trent says.
I guess. So we've got Roy
in Rebecca's
office, and she's like, what the fuck is your problem? And you know, oh no! Roy says that to her, and she's like, "What is going on with
she
you?
Says
Are
you
just gonna walk away from everything if it's not easy?" And you know, this is working on multiple levels with him, and she knows it. I mean, she knows what she's saying. She knows that this is something he clearly needs to hear and take to heart. And she just gives him a lecture, like a parent, like, you are just convinced that you don't deserve anything good and can't get out of your own way. You need to get out of your own way. And Roy is kind of like, hey.
Damn it.
Maybe that's right. And Rebecca's kind of pleased with herself. And so he goes off to
Nate is in his office, and Rupert has this awkward conversation with him where he invites Nate for a guy's night out. Well, okay, no, that's after. He has a really awkward conversation. I did not write any of it down.
He's just weird with Nate about Jake.
And then at the match the next day, Rupert invites Nate for a guy's night after the match, without Jade.
Right. So, yeah, Nate was actually cocky in that conversation. And Rupert's like, oh, I love it when you're cocky. I mean, you need to come for a drink for me after the match. And Nate's like, oh, should I bring Jade? And he's like, no, just a guy's night. So then we see the matches going on. So they're separate matches. Nate's match with West Ham is against another opponent, and Richmond has whatever going on, and we are in the pub. And May is serving beer in champagne glasses because we've got so many people back in the pub because they're back on a winning streak. And the pub guys are like, oh, it is better.
Yeah, and then we go back over to Keely, and Keely is just got a text from Jack. Jack basically says she's in Argentina for the next few months, Keely's like, okay, well, now it's an official breakup.
So go ahead and say whatever bad things you want to say about
And they can't
Jack.
Come up with anything, even though there are a few things I'd like to say.
Higgins
didn't really know her.
Right, and he's never going to say anything really bad about anybody, so he just kind of makes something up about,
Your handshake was too firm.
Yeah, that kind of crap.
And then we go over to, on the actual pitch itself during the game, Isaac, this is in the locker room.
Yes.
And they're about to do their all-in, and first of all, the all-in is C on three, A or ABC on whatever, and they go ABC or whatever, it's something like that.
Yeah, it's alphabetical. And Isaac, but when they put their hands in, Isaac won't touch Colin.
It's ridiculous.
And it is ridiculous, and it's coming across like he's repulsed, like he's phobic.
Yeah.
But Isaac has clearly lost his concentration even in the game. So they're playing Brighton. Brighton scores.
Well, okay, to be clear, Isaac is making mistakes in the game, but Brighton scores because of a small mistake by Colin, because he misses the ball or something like that.
Yeah.
And Isaac is really, really angry at Colin.
Yeah.
And so it's 1-0 at the half, and then a fan yells.
They're going in at the half, team is.
And a fan yells the F slur at the team, and Isaac gets very, very angry and starts a fight. And
right, he goes
into the stands
and
gets a red card, but Roy kind of defuses the situation.
And my husband pointed out, and I agree with this, when I saw it, it's like, red card would be...
Also at the half.
right, when you're not actually playing, it's like, that probably would not be a red card. It could be an ejection, but it's not, red card is for something between the teams. It is not for something involving the fans. So,
and it was a Richmond fan too.
Right.
And so then the team,
and Roy gets involved, and he makes sure that the fan gets ejected as well. But the pundits are talking, wow, Roy, that's the voice of reason. Whoa, something wrong there.
And then the team basically in the locker room tell Isaac that you should just ignore it. But Isaac's like, we shouldn't have to ignore it, especially when one of us is gay.
Or if one of us is gay. What he says, what if one of us is gay?
I thought he said when.
No, I wrote it down. What if one of us is gay? And so Roy's kind of like, So they take Isaac into another
room,
and Roy's going to talk to him. The captain badge, Isaac gives it to Sam. And Sam and Jamie have this exchange. It's like, Jamie's like, give it to me. And
it's Sam, a silent exchange, but it's really funny.
Sam flips him off.
But Sam and Jamie are kind of like looking up like, well, should I get, maybe I should get it. And then Sam takes it and flips him off. And it's really funny. And then the team thinks, oh, Isaac is gay. That's why he got so offended.
Right.
And they try to figure out who else is, because apparently 10% of all people or 10% of people in a given area or whatever are gay. And then Colin basically stands up and is like, tells the team that Isaac isn't gay, and it goes back over to Roy and Isaac. Roy basically talks to Isaac about, you need to figure out the root of your problem.
Yeah, and you're really angry about something else.
And how you need to deal with it before you screw up something that you really care about.
Yep.
And
then
Will's in the corner and he's like buffing the shoes or whatever. And it's like, yeah, no, I absolutely agree.
And Roy's like, thanks.
And then he's like, do either of you want a piece of gum? And Roy's like, don't push it.
So then we got the Ted gives a speech about...
Well, first of all, Colin has come out to the team officially.
Right.
And the team's very cool with it. Right. And they're like, oh, we don't care. And that's what leads into the
right. So Ted gives a speech about, you know, we do care. And he makes this analogy about his friend who was a Broncos fan, but it's not a really great analogy. But you know, he's like, oh, well, we should all support people because we do care. And we want you to know that you're not alone. And we're going to be playing a man down. So what do we, you know, Coach Beard, what are we doing? Like, we do nothing differently.
Yeah, we don't change anything. And then they get into the huddle. And they're like, okay, Sam, captain, come on. And then he's like, oh, crap, I forgot.
And he starts giving a speech, I'm really flattered, whatever.
And then he's like,
Jamie's just like, on three.
Well, no, he says, I love you guys so very much. And then Jamie's like, I love you so very much on three. One, two, three. I love you so very much.
And Sam's kind of like, oh, eye roll.
And then we go over to Nate, who sees an article about the fight. And Jay texts him and congratulates Nate on a win and says to have fun with guys night, which is cute. And then he goes to the club where Rupert is and the staff member.
Oh, hang on.
I skipped ahead. A staff member comes in and invites Nate to a night out with a group. And Nate's like, oh no, I'm going with Rupert. And then they're like, did you do something wrong?
Yeah.
And then
he's like, fired?
He's like, oh no, I didn't do anything wrong. And he's like, okay, whatever. But you are allowed, you can come out sometime. And so that proves that like Nate is kind of warming up. Everyone's warming up to Nate a little bit. I think Jade's humanized him in a way.
Yeah. So we also see that Colin in the Richmond game has a great second half. He scores.
He assists
in two scores. He's like a man reborn. The pundits all call Isaac a psycho. And say he's worse than Roy. And I didn't realize that one of the pundits was the old sexist coach who was showing his balls to Rebecca.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I didn't recognize him.
Yeah,
sweet.
You pointed that out. I was like, oh my God. Hey.
Yeah.
And then there's a moment in the pub where they're talking about the fan and what happened, and May, the pub owner, says, I hope his kids shiv him in his sleep.
Yeah, really. Oh, because apparently he had been awful to somebody in the pub or her niece or something like that. And so all the pub guys are like, yeah, let's kill him.
And then Nate meets up with Rupert.
There we go.
Rupert's with two girls who he can't get their names straight. And he basically...
Yeah, Rupert's already drunk.
What basically is happening is that they're going to go to a private room and he's going to basically try to make Nate cheat on Jade.
Ridiculous.
So sticking. And then Nate says no. Basically, well, he doesn't say no exactly. He's like, I'm going to not be here. I'm going to go.
He does all the right things. Like from the rip, he's like, I thought this was a guy's night. And Rupert's like, oh yeah, it's a guy's night. Let's get a private room. And Nate's like, I gotta go.
I wanted to tell you in person that I can't be here for long. I have stuff to do. I have another prior engagement. I'm sorry. I have to go.
And he goes, yeah, it's really sweet.
Thank God.
And so then we cut to to Roy and all those guys. And they're
like,
let's talk about this street that you're on. Roy's like, you never talk about the street. My grandparents never talked about their 51 years of marriage and they were happy.
My grandparents were happily married for 51 years because they never spoke to each other. Then Roy does a press conference instead of Ted because they're talking about, oh yeah, Ted's going to do a press conference soon.
And it's an important one.
Yeah, because it's right after. And also you want to handle the whole Isaac situation with care. Right. And so Roy goes instead. I don't think they sent him. I think he decided to do it. And when Roy comes in and they start asking questions,
Rebecca's like,
but Roy calls on somebody and says 5 o'clock shadow head. And that was so funny.
He just has like generic you're a guy names.
And here's a little bit of a trigger warning if a miscarriage is sensitive to you or in any way, because that is a part of a story that Roy tells.
Right. I wasn't going to get into details with it, but you know, they ask him about Isaac and Roy just goes into his own personal experience. Like when he was a young team member, he had told a joke in the locker room that offended one of the other players. And the other player,
like, it was about like his child or something. Yeah. Like that. It's like, oh, that could be my child or whatever, because he fucked his wife or something.
Yeah. Like one of those guy type jokes.
And
the older player beat the crap out of Roy and then got fired from the team. And he ran into the
and ruined guy. His reputation.
Right. And Roy ran into the guy later. He's like, what happened? And the guy explained. Well, no,
he says sorry for the joke. And then the guy explains that his wife, the child that they were talking about, was...
she recently had a miscarriage.
Yeah. And so it was a very, very touchy topic. And it because so basically the moral of the story is you don't know what other people are going through in their lives. So don't throw around like names and
that's not what he jokes. Says though.
Well, I'm just saying like the synopsis.
Right. But no, his synopsis is somewhat different. It's like, it was a wrong thing to do for Isaac to react that way. That was a big overreaction, but I love him anyway. And whatever he's going through is his business, not ours.
Yeah, the players are people too, and they are going, you don't know what's going on in their personal lives why he did it is none of my business.
Yeah, I love the way he asked the questions that you're writing. He's like, new Trent, I like you better than, I prefer you to old Trent.
And I got Trent's in the room.
Yeah, he's like... And there's like some other guy that he refers to. It's really funny.
He says, you Goblin King, go.
Yeah, exactly. Then we also, there's a song starts playing, I Hope You Find Someone Who Loves You. And it's actually really good lyrics. Then it's very suitable because Nate shows up at Jade's and hugs
just
her.
Hugs her.
And
she's
just
like, oh, I thought you were going to have a guy's night. And then he just hugs her. It's really sweet.
And then Isaac shows up at Collins.
Yeah. And he says, he basically... He feels betrayed because Colin has lied to him about his identity in a way. And
it's not in a way. It's that he has.
Well,
you get the impression from Isaac, like they've been friends for years and he's like, I'm upset because you lied to me and you felt like you couldn't tell me. Like there's something wrong with me. You didn't trust me.
And he's like, trust me, I didn't trust anybody. I knew for 20 years. Well, no, I knew since I came out of my mom and I didn't want to go back.
Right. And Isaac's like, well, you know, I can't keep a secret. He's like, exactly. I can keep a secret for years. You know about it for less than, and I can't keep a
less
secret
than a
for
week.
Less than a month, I think is what he says.
But, oh, no, yeah, it's month. And he came out.
So. Right, and so he invites... Colin invites Isaac in. They play video soccer and Isaac's asking him all these questions about, so what's it like being in the showers with other guys and how do you control your boner? You know, I couldn't do that with
girls. He's like, I just keep my head down.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, if I were in a locker room full of girls, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
Right. But it is a very healthy, like friendly conversation.
Yeah, it's fun.
And Colin's just
it's
like,
not about the logistics of things, really. It's like, how do you navigate the world the way in
right
from your perspective?
Right.
And I can't confirm this. I've never listened to the soundtrack. Sorry, but I think a song from La Casa Falls is playing in the background.
I Am What I Am.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it ends with that. So it's a fairly short episode.
Well, not much happens anyway.
Yeah, not much happens. So what was your best, what were your best parts, if any?
Keely and Jack breaking up.
I think they broke up in the last one, so I'm not even
well officially breaking up, for it to be very clear. Colin coming out / Ted's speech, kind of. The moral of it is fun. Nate not cheating, thank God. Roy stepping up for the press conference and Isaac apologizing to Colin.
Okay. My first one was, you know, Nate not being a dick, which I think was very important. Isaac having a character arc that is meaningful and not just being a dick. Roy, like, getting his shit together and realizing, hey, you know, I can do this right. And all of that. Rebecca as being like the mom, I think is really good.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, again, Colin, like, just bring it into...
Colin being honest with them.
Being honest, which I think...
Oh, also, really quickly, Isaac asks if Colin is going to tell everybody, and he's like, no, the team knows I'm okay with that. That's what I want.
Right.
For the people who are closest to me in my life to know, and that's all I really need.
Right.
Basically.
Worst part?
Rupert being creepy.
Yeah.
And Isaac getting very, very angry. Obviously, like, there's something behind that. And I wrote that down, I think, before the end. or before the Roy chat, but like, I still think that he did go a little bit far.
Oh yeah, beating up somebody, I think, is ridiculous. Yeah. But again,
ignoring Colin and all that.
The
stuff.
Whole not talking about it thing, but that is always a motivator in a lot of, you know, like
the dramas
and comedies. It's like, oh, come on.
Just talk to each other.
But Rupert is number one.
Rupert is absolutely number one.
He's just awful. He's just the worst.
Let people live their lives and not try to influence them like that.
Yeah. So how did you grade this episode?
I gave it a B+. I think that there are a lot of things that are good about this episode. Like, I think the Colin stuff is great. I think the Roy stuff, Roy finally getting a little bit of a whoop-ass kind of thing from Rebecca, just being like, listen, you need to stop running away from things that make you happy, and you also need to just put on your big boy pants and get through it. Like, you need to just stop getting in your own way. He needed that speech.
Yeah.
I think he could have gotten it before, but yeah. I think that, and I don't know, I just think that he needs to be more honest with himself about what he wants.
Well, she actually says that. She's like, what is it that you want? And he's like staring at her like,
yeah.
being someone who doesn't always know what I want. And it's kind of come up in a couple of appendix and shows that I've watched recently, including this one, which, you know, not knowing what you want can be, and not acknowledging, and it may be also in like books I'm reading, not acknowledging what you want or going after what you want can really be a major obstacle.
Absolutely. And so I think that's a big thing that's good. I just felt like it could have been like all of this stuff could have been a subplot in an episode more centered around something else. Let me rephrase that. I think that the Colin stuff it was in all intents and purposes a main plot, but I feel like the time was kind of split up really weirdly, because that extra scene with Rupert just being weird in the office, and then going straight to another scene of Nate and Rupert the next day at the match, I didn't think it felt clunky to me. So the pacing of the episode felt weird.
Yeah,
I think that it needed to pick what it wanted to be, obviously. And again, the team getting along so well in practice, and then for whatever reason, something changed, even though like Isaac was still kind of feeling the same way then as they did at the match, or at least before the match, in the early parts of the match. So I don't see, I don't know. It just feels
a little disjointed. That part I'm really following.
To be more clear, Isaac and Colin were on the rocks during, basically both during the practice that they were having fun and doing very, very well. Mm-hmm. They were also on the rocks during the match, the first half of the match.
Yeah.
So what changed then to like make him even more angry? If you get what I mean, like, why is he so lacking so much focus now?
I think a lot of it is just that they were losing. Suddenly they had been doing really well, and suddenly they're losing. And he knows it's his fault, and he's angry with himself for allowing this to get in the way. And so, like, again, anger comes out in like weird ways. So I understand some of that.
It just, again, it felt a little bit disjointed, and it felt like it wasn't a useless episode by any means. It was just kind of like meh.
Yeah, exactly. It's comfortable. It's what you expect.
I liked Nate a lot in this episode, but a lot of that stuff could have been, it just felt weird, because I was waiting for this conversation of like, and it might, well, I might save that, but I don't know. I'll save it for predictions, but go ahead.
I originally gave this as an A- because it's like,
gave it an A- too, but then I think it's B+.
I think you're right. It's more of an average, because I think this is what you expect of a Ted Lasso episode. Not a great episode. It's just,
I felt like the humor was a little bit off too.
Yeah, it's fine. I did like the Rebecca Roy thing, because of course mm-hmm. they're both characters that I really, really like. Mm-hmm. I liked Nate, and he does it in a true to Nate way.
Sure.
Not in a spitting on himself, not in a whatever, but in a
hug your girlfriend way.
Yeah, like he's back to being the person that we met in the first season.
Yeah.
And I like that he's coming home to himself.
He's more disturbed by the happenings of Rupert.
Well, he sees it. Yeah, he recognizes, like, oh, he's just a creep. Yeah. And so that...
Keep in mind, Rupert is still married with a kid, and he's off doing this on the weekends.
Yeah, but again, you know, he had done that to Rebecca.
Oh, well, no, it's not, like, a beyond belief for him, but it's still kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think that you may have been unaware of the level of creepy that Rupert was.
And the fact that he was trying to draw him into it as well is ridiculous.
Yeah, to kind of justify his own creepiness, he's like trying to bring other people into it. It's like, yeah, if you're going to be my manager, you have to like act like me. No.
Screw that.
No, fuck you. And maybe in Rupert's mind, like that's how like cocky people act, or, oh, I love it when you're acting.
That's
cocky.
Probably what he did with the other coach at Richmond.
Right, probably so. Well, you know.
He shows his balls to anybody.
Yeah, that would be both Liam and Neil. and there's Liam. But anyway, I just, you know, I felt like it was a meh, fine, but not great episode.
Good things happened in it, but I felt like it was an
overall... They weren't essential good things. I think we're at that point, though, in this series where, like...
It wasn't like a keystone.
Right. I mean, the thing is, you know, the Colin Isaac thing, okay, I guess they're trying to make it out like through the backbone of the team or something, but I never have felt that way. And I think that, you know, trying to create that this late in the game, it's kind of like, just not compelling. What predictions. Are your predictions? Yeah.
Well, what I thought was going to happen in this episode in an awkward scene with Rupert, in that one awkward scene in particular before the match, not before the match, but the one before that, he go to Nate and just be like, because they discuss briefly that she's a waitress at the Greek restaurant.
Yeah.
And I feel like he probably would have been like, oh, well, and a waitress, you could have had like, well, not that, but like, you could have been with a model. I can set you up with a model. You don't need to settle for a waitress or whatever. Or you can screw other people or whatever. I thought that was going to be like more of a discussion. Oh, and less of him just being like, oh, here are these girls.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be actually him showing up at Taste of Athens and asking her out or hitting on her. And that being something that Nate had to deal with Jade, like Jade having to explain it or something.
No,
if,
I think
Jade if does. They add that in, I'd be like, oh, God, please don't.
I just don't want Rupert anywhere near her.
Yeah.
Or anywhere near anybody. He needs to be isolated.
Put him in a cage.
I don't know if he'd like. I don't know.
I think he would like that.
I think he would like that. Yeah.
The whole bondage thing might be exactly.
Maybe. I just don't want more Rupert.
Right.
But unless it's him being shat on. Like, well, I really just.
No,
don't.
I think something is going to happen. Like, Rupert's going to come in after this and be like, you can't be my manager because you're.
Yeah, I feel like.
You're not a prick. Like,
I feel like he's probably going. I feel like what's going to happen is Nate's. The team's going to lose and he's going to blame Jade on it. Or not Nate, but like Rupert's gonna blame Jade, and it's like, you've gone soft. You're hanging out with this girl, and she's humanizing you, and you're not as
That is way more self-aware than anything Rupert would actually say. But yeah,
I just feel like he's gonna use Jade as a scapegoat for Nate not doing something he likes.
Yeah,
and I think that this just in general, but I think that that's probably what's going to happen there. I think another thing, moving on from Rupert and that whole shit show, I don't know what's gonna happen with Rebecca, because she hasn't really been doing much other than giving speeches to people about stuff recently.
Yeah,
I think
that she and Sam haven't even spoken. I think that's going nowhere.
I hope they at least talk.
I want that subplot resolved, and it just hasn't been, and it's annoying me.
I hope that Isaac does relinquish control of being captain to maybe Sam, because he like feels bad for like that, how he acted, and maybe it's going to be expected now or something. I don't know. I actually, maybe not. I mean, still, I think Isaac's a fine captain. I think that that's fine, but I really like Sam being so that whole conversation with Jamie and just being like, well, I can be captain. Like, that would be funny. But I want more Sam. I want more Rebecca. I hope that they talk about anything ever. And
yeah.
I hope that Keely and Roy talk normally, like normal people, and Roy doesn't fuck it up. Because I think the problem, my problem is that now that, okay, now that Keely and Jack have broken up, like they never had a conversation about, oh, I'm moving on with Jack. Like they never had that conversation of like, listen, I'm with this person now. He inferred it. He was like, oh yeah, no, based on context clues and everything I've like can see, she's going out. She has a girlfriend right now. Like, that's all. It wasn't a conversation. Obviously you don't have to go to your ex and be like, hey, I'm going out with this person now. That's not a requirement by any means. But when you work together with that person and you are in close proximity to that person, I feel like it's only fair given the context to be like, maybe I wanted them to have a conversation about anything. Like, just like, hey, listen, totally cool with you moving on.
He would have known. I mean, here's
the reality. He already did know.
Right. But I mean, he would have known because Rebecca and Higgins and a whole bunch of other people knew. So it definitely would have been something that he would have heard about.
I feel like it's weird that he never like talked to anybody about that.
I don't think it's weird that he didn't talk about it. I think it is weird that she has not talked to him. I think that's weird.
That's what I think is weird.
But I think they've just kind of diluted all. Maybe that's what my issue with the season is. It's like they've diluted all of the characters. Mm-hmm. Like, let's have more characters and less interesting characters. It's like,
unless interesting screen time for everybody. Yeah, and it's just so.
Like, oh, it's like,
because we barely got any Healy in this episode as well, and with Roy, especially with Roy having the press conference, I thought that would be a perfect opportunity for her to go up and be like, "Hey, congratulations, good job."
It was right at the end.
I understand that, but I still think that, like, in her watching on, it didn't even have like a special close-up of Keely being like, oh my gosh, she's doing so well, or anything like
I mean, or Rebecca or whatever. I mean, just you see them having anxiety before they you see them in the back of the press room being like, oh cool, you know, like eyebrows, and that's it. You don't really get to see anything. I feel like we've lost the plot, kind of thing. Just like the second act of Spamalot, I haven't had any screen time. I could totally see Rebecca, you know, like,
absolutely.
I'm coming out and singing and being like,
whatever happened to my part? Part.
Yes, exactly.
But I think another part, another thing that's kind of weird is Ted was barely in this episode too. He had like a little teacher call conference thing. I guess it's just another thing. Like, he's going to go back to Kansas because he wants to be a part of his son's upbringing. It's like, okay, we got it. Yeah. I think we all kind of know where this is going.
Yeah.
And I think that like Beard had his proper little moment in the sun with the whole like guitarist thing. That was cute.
Yeah, that was cute. And he as a character, is good in doses. Yeah, I don't expect more from him than being the super funny side guy.
And I'm glad Rory got a lot of screen time in this episode to like do stuff, because he has not really been doing all that much.
No, I mean, he's been like backseat guy, or you know, the guy who's getting pulled around by Janie.
Or the guy being cucked. And so, I mean, like, it's just, I don't know. I think. And the whole Keely Jack thing was absolute bullshit. It led to nothing. And so
I have so little interest in that whole, and I know I've said it before. Please, less time with her fucking new firm. I just, God, it's awful.
We didn't see any of it this
to thank this God. Episode. And that was a good thing to me.
And that was a good thing. But I also,
I don't know how we're going to stretch what needs to be resolved into three more episodes.
Exactly. Like, it's insane. I feel like there should be, like, okay, if they were going, and again, this is just me wanting Roy and Keely back together, but realistically,
you could do this all in one episode.
You could, but I think it would be a little bit awkward because of all the interactions, the sum of all the interactions that Keely and Roy have, aka two,
need is like a Downton Abbey Christmas episode. We're like, we just get all the legs.
Let's figure this out. Again, we're doing Downton Abbey next. We're very excited. Downton Abbey next. But I think that
Downton Abbey Christmas episode.
Oh, yes. But I think it's very weird because, again, all of the stuff this season, all of the sum of all the interactions, aka two, of Roy and Keeley have led to nothing good.
Right. So, but the thing is, what the stuff we want resolved. There are three things we started the season caring about. There are three things that I still want to see.
Same.
And they have not happened. And that would be
Sam and Rebecca at least talking about what's going on. Roy and Keeley.
And Ted. And Ted deciding to go back, which we all know is going to happen.
So that's kind of, it's not resolved, obviously. They're not going to do that until the end. But still.
You can do all three of those things in one episode.
But I want it to naturally grow into something, because I think that obviously, like, they know
each other. I'm ready for it not to. I'm ready for this to be done.
I just at least want it to, like, not be all be in one episode. And they, like, okay, if it happened all in the season or series or whatever finale it is, like, if it all happens in that, and they and Keeley and Roy have had no conversations until that point, or like any conversations like in between, like now and then I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, but I mean, what we want is a happily ever after moment, like the kissing at the end or the wedding at the end of a Jane Austen or whatever. I mean, what we
need
want,
the rain.
Yeah, right. But what we need is that, so they can stretch it into two. I can't see three episodes out of this. I just can't. I'm like, how do you even get three episodes out of this? And I think that's the bloated feeling I've gotten from this series all season, is like, you know, we've got hour-long episodes. They aren't as punchy, they aren't as fun, and we aren't figuring it. We have these super long fucking speeches from Ted about Denver Broncos fans, which I am sure that in a stand-up probably sounded pretty good, but it's like, oh, come on, no, it's too long. You're not really even making the point, because you know, even Colin's like, are you equating being gay to being a sports fan? Like, no, it's not the same thing at all.
Right.
And so I feel like, you know, that we're taking the long way around to, like, let's just resolve some shit.
Yeah, I hope that since those little things have been resolved, or at least like sparked in some way, we can move on.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that hasn't even been touched on is Roy and Keeley. No, Rebecca and Sam.
And Rebecca and Sam.
Roy and Keeley, at least we all acknowledge, you know, that they've spoken to each other, not with any substance, but they've spoken to each other. We have not seen Rebecca and Sam in the same room.
Yes, we have. But
we met at the restaurant.
Yeah,
they did not speak to each other. They weren't even close.
No, I'm talking about how, like, Sam and his dad, like the whole Sam's dad thing, they at least mentioned that they were something. But I wish that that was the episode where they would actually do something about it or talk to each other.
That's
about
just
it.
All bullshit.
Like, I think that, yeah, those are the three things we want
to
know.
Whatever
about.
Happened to our plot?
Oh, please. And so, yeah, we want to figure out what's going on with Roy and Keeley. We want to figure out what's going on with Sam and Rebecca, and we want to figure out what's going on with Ted. And
all
we
right.
want good jokes.
Yeah, and damn it.
Which is so the next episode is called International Break. I believe it's basically like them, yeah, taking a break and doing like an international match. And I think Edwin Akufu is coming back and probably wants Sam. And maybe that will be the moment where Rebecca and Sam talk. For
you know, I'm not really interested in the Edwin Akufu.
I'm not either, but at least it might have
this.
Something to
I'm
say.
Like, I'm just so fucking done. I mean, come on, let's just fucking finish this. Anyway, let's hope that we're gonna get some actual movement and whatever in this next episode. We are looking forward to your joining us. We hope you join us. And
cheers.